Let us pray. Make your face to shine upon your servant, and in your loving kindness, save me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to start off by thanking our young people who did a beautiful job of bringing us the Passion. It's so wonderful to be part of a church with so many wonderful young people. Good morning and welcome to Palm Sunday and Holy Week. This is a week of great celebration, joy, and anticipation, as well as a time of great sadness and grief, despair. Holy Week begins as we welcome our Savior into Jerusalem with palms and hoping for a king. And then we, his people, turn on him. We turn away from his message. We condemn and crucify him because he doesn't measure up to our human expectations of a Messiah or king. Yet, throughout the week, this Holy Week, our Lord keeps his promise. He shines his face upon us. He loves us, and he forgives us. He reminds us that Jesus came not to die, but to teach us how to live. So how can we possibly prepare for the week ahead of us? Well, as a little girl in an Episcopal tradition, Palm Sunday and Easter were a joyful time for me, a time of great anticipation and excitement and busyness. It was a time that I knew that I would get a new dress and a new pair of patent leather shoes. My brothers were excited too, because all of us knew that we would travel during this time, that we would spend our school break either in Virginia with my dad's mother and his family, or in Raleigh, North Carolina, with my mother's parents. It was springtime, a time of new life, an abundance of food and family and candy. It was never a time of sadness or solemn prayer. It was a time of celebration of the welcoming the Savior with palms and then celebrating the resurrection. I never thought about what went on in between. Then it was Good Friday, and I was in the kitchen with my grandmother helping her dye eggs, and a spring thunderstorm came up, and the sky turned really black, and it was thundering and lightning. And my grandmother, who was usually a happy person, became very solemn. She asked us to join her at the table, the kitchen table. And I watched her as tears came down her cheeks. And she said, "We need to be quiet. It is at this very hour that our Christ died on the cross." A happy time became a quiet and solemn time. And for the first time, I felt sadness. And my heart ached. I realized that our faith was full of happy celebrations, but it also reflected the hurt, the sadness, and despair in everyday life. But even in that darkness, there is always that ray of hope and light that's promised us by our Savior. In the happiness of my childhood and the hope in my adult life, that promise from our triune God to love and forgive us, the promise to pour love and mercy all over his people as Christ redeems and saves us. The triune God cracked the darkness with light. He opened the tomb, and his promise of love and salvation never wavers. So on this day, Jesus rode into Jerusalem, and the Jews there believed that he was fulfilling a prophecy of Zechariah in the book of Hebrews. Your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey. He will restore peace. The prophecy of a king riding on a donkey to overthrow an oppressor and reclaim the glory of Jerusalem. So on this day, on the eastern gate of Jerusalem, Jesus entered. He rode on a small donkey, about the size of a large dog. To the cries and celebration of Jewish people, waving their palms, throwing down their cloaks, and welcoming their newfound king. In contrast, on the west gate entered Pilate. He was on a strong war stallion, surrounded by Roman soldiers with shining helmets to the cadence of drums. Jesus was humble, quiet, peaceful, loving. He delivered to us by example the message of God, the message of love and peace. Pilate was powerful, full of worldly authority, and he crushed anyone that challenged him. The people of Jesus cried, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The people had worldly expectations for Jesus. He was going to crush the Romans, restore Jerusalem. He was going to bring the temple back to the glory of King David and King Solomon. When it was evident that his message was one of love and peace, not power and overthrowing of the Roman government or the corruption in the temple, his followers turned on Jesus, and they turned away from the God's message. So those in local power, they were very happy to comply when the cries of the people were, "Crucify him. Let's get rid of this rabble-raiser once and for all." Jesus, Son of God, was fulfilling a prophecy of God's love. He was giving us an example of how to live. It was a holy example. He challenged those in authority, and he gave hope to the downtrodden. So Palm Sunday, Jesus rides into Jerusalem with great anticipation and celebration from those that were there. And he receives betrayal, denial, a trial, and crucifixion. The Son of God was seen as a traitor. So as human beings, when we turned our back on the love of God, what does God do? He's so great, he keeps loving us. His face shines upon us with love and forgiveness, redemption and salvation. His gifts are not the gifts of the world. They are the empowering gifts of the soul, of our spirit. It's Holy Week, a great contrast, a week of mourning and a week of joy. So how are each of you, each of us, how am I going to prepare for this Holy Week? How are we going to walk in faith and love with our Lord? One of the things that works for me to begin this walk is to surround each day in prayer, to have quiet communication with God. The other way is to travel light. So I pack up in a suitcase all my hurts and disappointments, the people that I've hurt intentionally or unintentionally, the shame and guilt that I carry, and I pack them up in a suitcase and I take them to the cross. And I leave them there. So I travel light. I unburden myself. And then I seek God in the beautiful greening of spring, the flowers, new leaves on the tree, the birds and the animal, God's creation, his nature. And I seek Jesus in the people around me, strangers and those known to me. And I try to seek the light of God in each one of them. And then I try to reflect Jesus to each one that I see. I prepare myself for the unexpected. Because when you let go of your burdens, and when you pray, and when you seek God, I can guarantee you, I'm standing here today because the unexpected happened. And I anticipate, and I'm open to the love and the light and the hope of Christ and the peace that passes all understanding. So that new dress for Easter was my childhood preparation to welcome the Savior into this world. And as a mature Christian, I still like to have a new Easter outfit. But I also like to make a commitment of celebrating every day of Holy Week. This practice has changed my life. It has opened my heart to my own sufferings. It has given me the blessing of sitting with others in love during their time where they might be so downtrodden in despair that just a kind word or sitting quietly with them gives them that light of hope that Jesus promised us. So our triune God keeps his promises. Our God is faithful and loving to his people. So let us, his people, this Holy Week, be faithful to our Lord and Savior. In his name, amen.